Righteousness is not something to be achieved. It is something that you receive.
Amen.
That came to me earlier. Righteousness is not something to be achieved, but it's something that we receive. Righteousness is a free gift. It is the free gift of righteousness from the Father. Otherwise, we put ourselves in the position of somehow meriting righteousness by our performance. And it puts us in bondage and back under condemnation when we do that. Because we can only go so long and then we fail again. So we are actually receptors here. We are receivers, right? We are to receive of grace. So we have grace. We can't give anything that we don't have. We can't live anything that we're not. And God is the one who transforms us in such a way that it's just who we are now. Christianity, again, is not trying to act like God or to act like a Christian. That would be hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is stage player, right? A stage actor. That's what that means. It's an actor. That's what the word means. So the reality is that we are who God says we are. We need to know who we are, and we need to be who we are. A tree does not have to fight or struggle to bear fruit. It simply needs to be in the right conditions, in the right location. And fruit will automatically come. It's not struggling. It's not working to produce. It simply drinks, amen, in the water and receives the sunlight. But in the right conditions, it's going to bear fruit. So it is with us as we abide in Christ. In the right place, that's in the secret place. In the right conditions, amen, in His glory, in His presence, we will bear fruit. Without effort. And out of rest we will live. Not out of performance and stress and strife. How many have realized that when you put yourself in that place of trying to redeem yourself, that you're just miserable? And you're not able to really live for God. Maybe you can fool some people, right? But in reality, God's saying, why don't you just come to me? All you who labor and you're heavy laden with all the stuff and the guilt and the condemnation and the performance that you're trying to somehow hope God will like you a little more because you're just such a good person now. Because look what I did. But as soon as you blow it, because you're living and operating in your own strength, then you will blow it there in that place. How many know that we can live a life above reproach in the Lord? We can live integrous lives. We can live lives that are holy and pure. But it's not because I work harder at it. It's not because I strive or I struggle to achieve it. I have to be in a position to receive it and be it. Be who I am, abiding in Christ. Amen? And bear fruit in that place, in that position. So worship is key, not just when we come together here, but in our daily walk. Singing and making melody in your heart, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing to yourself, right, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so there it is. Jesus made it simple for us. He says, you're stressed out about a lot of stuff. Why don't you just come to me and rest? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek, I'm lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. So isn't the Lord good? And so that's the key, is just to enjoy fellowship with God. You come in some places and they're just dumping all this stuff on you. No, enjoy fellowship with God. The law is for the sinner. The law is for the one who is outside of the covenant. Are you with me? To make them aware of their lost condition. It's a schoolmaster that brings us or points us towards Jesus, where we realize we're lost, so we come to God for mercy. Once you come in, amen, through the door, who's Jesus, Now you simply just abide in that place of intimacy, of worship. You know, worship is more than just singing songs. Worship is your life. Your life submitted to the Father. Your life that honors God. And everything we do, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all, amen, to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. So that's what it's about tonight. And that was the part A of the message tonight. This morning we were talking about seeing, S-E-E-I-N-G, the unseen. We want to see Jesus. How many want to see Jesus? Yeah. I mean, I want to see him here and now too. You know, I'm just going to be real with you. I'd like to see Jesus. Jesus, I'd like you just to, I mean, reveal yourself in such a way. I want to see you. I would just love to see you walking down this aisle. I know you're with us, Lord, but I'd like to see you. You know, that's not a bad thing at all. How do we see Jesus? When I mentioned this morning, when you are communicating with somebody, and you may ask the question after you have given your statement, now do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, you didn't have a visual, did you? You did in your heart. You had an understanding of what was being said. So we see Jesus by understanding him. You see, it's a visual of the inner part or the inner man. So we want to see Jesus. We see Jesus in communion, don't we? We see beyond the elements to see the person in that. We see Jesus serving his disciples, girding himself and serving them, washing their feet, ministering to them. You see, Jesus was the guest of honor at the table. And the servant would sit at the lower seat. And it was the custom that the servant would minister to the people, the guests that came to the house. And yet Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, and he served the people. He loved us. Amen? And he has loved you with an everlasting love. It's not just I love you today because you did good today, but before you were even doing good, he still loved you. Do you see it? While we were yet in our sin, Christ died. I have to remind myself of that sometimes when I feel like I'm not living up to God's expectations. Do I want to please God? Absolutely. But the Father knows our frame. He knows that we have weakness. But our weakness should never drive us from him. It should always point us to him. Because in him we are strong. If we continue to detach or disconnect from the Lord, well, you'll be consumed in your own weakness. But if you abide in him, you will be strong in the Lord. You will be receiving the nourishment of his presence. And as a result, the fruit of God will be manifested. When we say the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. People need to see Jesus, and they're not going to see Jesus in us unless we continue to abide in him. And that's a daily choice that we make. According to the scriptures, this book right here, we are to focus more on the unseen than on the seen. There are many challenges to that because we live in a world where everything is we see, we touch, we feel. And yet, because our kingdom is not of this world, we are citizens of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand or among you. It's actually overlaying even here where we're at right now. How many know the kingdom of heaven is here in the unseen realm? And so because of that, we need to focus on that which is eternal. We are to fix our eyes on Christ, on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are to place our affections on things above, right? Set our affections on things above, where Christ is seated. And not things on the world, on the earth. Why? Because the things that we see are temporary. And what we don't see is eternal, but what we don't see, the invisible kingdom of heaven, is actually a superior world, a superior realm. And so we want to abide there. We want to live there. We want to operate from there. In Ephesians, it says we've been raised up together with Christ. So positionally, folks, we are there. But it's through revelation that we come to understand our position, our authority as sons and daughters, the power, amen, of the Holy Spirit given to his people. It's not something that we work from here to get to there. It's we need to begin there and bring that which is there in the eternal realm of God's presence, amen, into this realm. So we begin by going right to the Father, and we make our petitions known, and we call heaven in. You see, religion teaches a person to perform or work or strive to reach, if you will, the top of the ladder. The spiritual corporate rung, you know, or the top rung of the spiritual corporate ladder. But that's not the way it is. Remember when Jacob had the vision. You remember when he laid on the stone and he had the vision? The heavens were open. There was a portal to heaven and he saw the angels ascending and descending. Well, Jesus said, to whom you see the angels ascending and descending, amen, this is he. He's the Christ. It was talking about Jesus, who is the door, the access into that realm. Through Jesus, we come into glory. Amen. We access and we can bring that which is in heaven to earth. When that which is invisible, that which is in heaven that God is releasing, it by faith is appropriated or received by us, we can bring that into this realm and there is a miracle. It's a supernatural thing, amen, that takes place. Our lives have been dramatically changed simply from communion with God because our lives have been touched by the Lord. When we've been touched by the Lord, you're changed. You're forever changed. When you're born of the Spirit, you are actually forever changed. You can never really live what you used to comfortably. But so it is, and even when it comes to physical healing, it's a matter of going into that place by faith, bringing that which God has already made available because of the blood into this realm, and decreeing it over the situation, speaking to it. Amen. We speak to sickness. We speak to disease. We speak to demons. And we take authority, just like Jesus did. And he told his disciples, now follow my example. You saw what I did, how I taught you. Now, in the Great Commission, he says, now you teach the same things to others. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Teaching them to observe all things that I taught you. So we're learning how to operate like Jesus did here. Why? Because we are the ambassadors representing the kingdom government of heaven to bring heaven to earth, with the unseen into the seen, to bring heaven down. Hallelujah. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. How many know that New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven? Amen. Into the natural physical Jerusalem is an overlay. We're calling down heaven. And when heaven comes down, when we pray and call heaven down, that's when people sometimes just, they get healed and nobody laid hands on them. God's sovereignly just moving in that place of rest in the glory realm. So we want to get into that place by faith and bring that which God is releasing into this reality. So that's why it's important that we understand what God is doing. So we can agree with him, as in heaven, so on the earth, Lord. As your will is in heaven, Lord, so let it be here. And so Jesus wants you and I to understand how to function, how to work, how to operate in this realm. I'm learning how to do it. You're learning how to do it. We're getting better at it as we practice. Faith is something that has to be practiced. The trying of your faith, the trial of your faith really means the trying out of your faith, as James spoke of it. So through the experiences of life, you're actually practicing how to walk by faith. And so we need to have childlike attitudes about these things. As a new believer, usually can receive a lot quicker and a lot easier than sometimes the older saints. Why? Because they don't have all the garbage and all the doctrines and all the confusing doctrines that they've been hearing and the unbelief that's been spilled onto them by people who don't want to walk in that realm and they want to be comfortable and just abide in a place where it's all predictable and we can the whole thing. Because walking by faith sometimes is scary because it means I have to step out of my comfort zone into the place where God is. And God is always calling us to do something that's above and beyond what we could do. Naturally. Am I right? Yes. Otherwise, it would just be you. And there would be no difference between us and people that don't know Jesus. Are you with me? Yep. The world can act good. They can act righteous. They can be good, you know, moms and dads and children and, you know, good citizens. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That is a good thing. However, this reality that we're talking about is superior. And God wants the superior reality of His kingdom to be manifested in this inferior reality. And so the world needs to see a demonstration of the reality of this kingdom through God's people. That's what happened on Mount Carmel with Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen. He's saying it right there. We don't look at the things that are seen. How many have realized that if you start looking at the things that are seen, faith goes out the window pretty quick. If you start dwelling on, meditating on, worrying about your situation, what you're doing is now you're putting your focus on your problem. And whenever you focus on your problem, what happens to the problem? It gets bigger. So we've got to look past the problem to the problem solver. Look to Him. Trust in Him. Say, oh yeah, well, here's just another test. Here's another problem. Yeah, it's beyond my capability to deal with. So therefore, it's going to have to be God, and this is a good opportunity for me to see God move on my behalf. Isn't that a good thing? And then when He does, you have a testimony. You can't have a testimony unless you're first tested. Because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Again, words are invisible. They are spiritual. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke and it happened. So when we're born again, we're spiritually born of Him. We become alive spiritually. Now we have the ability to commune with God, right? Say amen.
Amen.
We have the ability to fellowship with Him. And He has the right to come. We have the right to come to Him and make our petitions known. And you know the Father wants you to do that. He wants you to come to Him. We now have the ability to call the invisible into the visible. When we're in agreement with the Father's will. Again, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have not only power by the Holy Spirit, but we have authority. And therefore, we have legal access, amen, to the grace of God. In witchcraft, it's the power and it's illegal because it's not under the authority of God. They're climbing up another way and they're tapping into God's power, but it's not legitimate because it's not authorized by the Father. But we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. And through the blood. And therefore, God, you know, we know that what we do in his name is going to be legitimate because we're in him and he's in us. We have been given authority by the Holy Spirit who abides in us. He's the one that gives us the authority. Now in James 5:17, we're going to, you know, talks about Elijah. Some people, you know, sometimes, and myself included, when I look at these men of God in the Old Testament and I think of the exploits and the mighty things that they accomplished for God, you know, you're tempted to say, well, that was Moses, you know. That was David, you know. That was Ezekiel. You know, that was Elijah. Well, wait a minute. James addresses that, doesn't he? He says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years. Why did he say that? He's talking to who? To the church. He's saying, listen, church, Elijah was no different than you and I. Elijah was just a man. But Elijah had an anointing. How many know that in Christ, we're still just people? But we've been given an anointing. We receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Amen. When we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, we receive power to confirm God's word, to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus. So God chooses human vessels, imperfect vessels, to reveal himself to the world through. And you know, the world has to see the clay, otherwise they'll start worshiping us. So that's sometimes, I think, when we have those embarrassing moments. You see, the world has to also see that you're just a human too. Now, we try to live perfect lives, don't get me wrong. But there's moments, there's times when your weakness is just going to come out. Because we're not perfected yet. But overshadowing us, overlaying us is the presence, amen? The glory, the anointing of God. And so therefore, people will say, well, God had mercy on him. He can have mercy on me too. I'm not what I was, but I certainly not what I used to be, right? But I'm also not what I'm going to be. I'm somewhere along the path of being conformed to the image of Jesus. But in the process of that, God wants you and I to be vessels that are available and willing, amen, to be used of him. And that is an exciting thing. I enjoy serving Jesus. It's exciting to see, wow, the God of heaven actually used me. Because I'm such a great guy. No. Because he's such a great guy. See, that's the awesome thing. It's not because I've measured up. Because apart from Christ, we'll never measure up. None of us measure up. Jesus makes us measure up. He declares that you are righteous. Righteousness is not something to you to be achieved. It's something you receive. That's the difference. As long as you're trying to achieve it, you're going to keep falling. Right back into the same pit that you climbed out of. Why? Because you climbed out yourself. Instead of reaching out your hand, say, Jesus, help. Jesus reaches out and he pulls you out of it. Amen? But as long as you're trying to climb out yourself, well, I tried Christianity. It didn't work for me. Well, that's the problem. You're trying Christianity. How about seeking the heart of God? How about pursuing God? How about a relationship with God? Amen? How about abiding in Christ? How about praying until you get deliverance, praying until you're free, praying until that problem is taken care of? Or if the problem isn't changed in your life, if it doesn't change, it doesn't change your circumstances, you will change in the process of it. Sometimes that's what God does, you know. He doesn't change your situation, but he'll change you as you draw near to him. As you look into the face of Jesus, you're being transformed into that same glorious image from glory to glory. It's all about relationship. It's all about worshiping God, abiding in the vine. And from that place we operate, and we can call, you see, from that place of authority, seated with Christ, those things which are invisible into the visible. Now, when James talks about Elijah here, he's talking about the fact that Elijah just didn't offer a prayer in the morning. You know, he didn't just do, "Now I lay me down to sleep." But it says that he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. This is key. We are in a battle. We're in a struggle. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We got to understand something, is that Christianity is not passive, right? It requires action. We've got to pray for heaven to come. And we've got to persevere at times. You can't just do the little, "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. There's times when you need supplication in the Spirit. And supplication means an earnest entreaty. A supplication is like when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was pouring his soul out to God, crying out with loud cries and tears, it says, to him who was able to hear and save him. Jesus cried out to the Father like that. He prayed, amen, that God would come to his rescue. There are times, folks, when we just got to press in, we got to persevere. And you know, a lot of people, they just don't want to do that. Why? Because we live in microwave society. We just want to go through the drive-up window to God and see, "Here's my burger and fries," and be on my way. Folks, it doesn't work that way. There are times when you'll just say a little prayer or even a thought prayer and God will answer it just like that. There's other times you're going to have to contend for the answer. There's other times you're going to have to press in to get a hold of God, amen, and bring that which is in heaven to the earth. It's just like Jacob, amen. He was not going to let go until the Lord blessed him. He wrestled with the Lord till the break of day. There are times when we need to seek God like that. There is this thing called seeking the Lord. Amen? So, in order for us to see God's purposes fulfilled, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require that we take the time to seek the Lord. That we take the time to prepare ourselves for battle. Amen? Sometimes people are going right out there without packing their lunch. They're unprepared. They don't have their armor on. They want to run right away and they want to get involved in ministry. They want to serve God, but they're not in condition to do that. The only way we're going to get into shape spiritually and to get into condition is to seek God, is to worship God, is to wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not those who go through the drive-by window, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Jude 20 says to build yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit, worshiping God. Amen? In spirit, build yourself up, prepare yourself, stay armored up. And then it's not a struggle. Ministry will be the natural, in a sense, supernatural result, the fruit of the Spirit. The signs and the wonders and the miracles We've got to contend. We've got to pray for that to come, for God to release that. The reason why we have glory in this church is because we take the time to worship. We take the time to wait on God. We call out to God. We contend, amen, for the kingdom to come and the will of God to be done. And that's why there are results. There are miracles here. There are healings here. And the greatest of all is the transformation of our hearts and our lives. But folks, if we're just in this microwave situation where we come in, we do our little church thing, and then the rest of the time we're just gone out doing our own thing, we're totally missing the point. We've been saved for a purpose. Amen. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus that we might now represent Him. Amen. The times of the past should have been enough. Amen. When we lived in lasciviousness and in the world, now we live for Jesus. Here's a story right after the encounter on Mount Carmel. It's from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." The first thing he says is, "I hear something. I hear something in the spirit." He didn't see anything, but he heard something. Now remember, there had been drought on the land because Elijah had prayed. Right? And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And God honored his earnest prayer. But now something is shifting. Now it's time to bring the rain back. And so Elijah says, "I hear something. There is abundance of rain." And so in verse 42, it says, "Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground." What did he do? He humbled himself, right? "And he put his face between his knees." And I heard somebody say one time that this was actually like the birthing position. This was deep travail. Amen. This was not some shallow whatever. This was really a man really pressing in, really crying out, really seeking God with fervency. With fervency. And then in verse 43, he said to his servant, "Go up now. Look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Now, I want you to see this. And seven times he said, "Go again." Now, you get the picture. Elijah's down, amen, on his face before God. He's crying out to God. He's travailing in prayer. And then he tells his servant, "Now go and look towards the sea." And so the servant comes back and he says, "I didn't see a thing." Well, sometimes that's enough for us to just say, "Well, God, it must not be God's will. God must not be hearing my prayer. God's probably not going to answer my prayer." But he sent him out a second time. He came back with the same report. "I don't see anything." Now, I want you to catch this. Seven times he sent him out. And then on the seventh time, of course, we know seven is the number of perfection, right? He came back and he says, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." What did he see? It was the beginning of the breakthrough. He didn't give up. He persevered. He continued to pray and seek the Lord, even seven times, until he saw the evidence that God was answering his prayer. And this is the cool thing, because he's just saying now, by faith, he's saying, "You better run, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain." There's going to be a downpour. Are you following? And that's the way it is, folks. Is sometimes you travail. Sometimes you pray for a long season and you don't seem to be getting any answers. Don't give up. Jesus said, keep on knocking. Amen. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Don't become weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so he continued to persevere. And now comes the sign. The sign in heaven. Amen. That God is getting ready to do something. And so he said to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now, all they see is a little cloud up in the sky. Are you following? And he's telling them, get in your chariot and you better boogie, because you're going to drown if you don't. And so now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. You see, the problem is, too often we are seeking quick earthly solutions to our problems. We don't want to wait on God, and we get impatient in the process. And if God doesn't answer right away, well, God must not be God's will. I just quit. That's it. I'm mad. God doesn't hear me. God doesn't love me. Of course, nobody's ever thought that or said that before. Huh. Probably most of us, at least once in your life, you said, does God even care about me? He doesn't seem to answer my prayers. Too often I have to deal with folks who have become discouraged, disappointed with God, in some cases angry at God because he didn't answer their prayers. And you know, sometimes our prayers are answered in ways that we're not even expecting. God is answering prayers. And, you know, I believe this is going somewhere tonight. But I believe, folks, that the prayers that you've offered, even if it was a little prayer in the morning, that God collects all those prayers. Every time you petition him, every time you cry out, every time you say, God help, God collects it. The Bible says in heaven there are bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And it's a sweet savor in the presence of the Father. And I believe, and we saw that in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, where his prayers and his alms came up before the Father as a memorial, came up before God. God took note. He might have been praying for years. We don't know how long he had been just being faithful to pray, faithful to give, faithful to serve. But God didn't overlook any of it. God had it all recorded in his book. All those prayers were being collected in the bowls, amen, of incense. And I believe that the time comes when God turns that back. And I believe that's what happened here, is the time came when the portal of heaven began to open up. And God was getting ready just to release something that was going to be a flood of his glory, a flood of his presence. And the Lord is doing the same thing here in Shelton. The Lord is doing the same thing in the Northwest. Don't become weary in well-doing. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking the Lord. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Don't give up, because what's happening is while you're sowing, hallelujah, the day is going to come, says, when the sower will be overtaken by the reaper. Amen? There's going to be those prayers that were offered maybe years ago. God's going to start to answer them in that season that you're in now. And while you're in that season of the prayers being answered, you're also going to be sowing in the same season, which if you continue to be faithful and to continue to sow, guess what? There's going to be prayer after prayer that is answered because you are faithful. And God takes note of faithfulness. That's what pleases him, when we are faithful, when we trust him, when we believe. Faith is believing God, that my God shall supply all of my needs. Oh, I don't see any provision right now. Keep on praying. Keep on looking. Amen. Keep your eyes open, because when you pray, you're praying with expectancy. I believe that my Father is my provider. He said he would provide according to his riches. in glory. Therefore, I know God's going to take care of us. So don't worry about tomorrow, he said. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Don't worry about the stock market. Don't worry about the government. Why? The government's not your provider. God is. He's bigger. In Jeremiah 17:5, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength. This is from the New Living Translation. And turn their hearts away from the Lord. He says, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Do you see it? You don't trust in man, you trust in God. Don't trust in the government, trust in God. Whatever it is in your situation, your problem, God has the answer. God is always the solution. Don't look at the temporary things. Don't dwell on that which is temporary. Look at him who is eternal. And call that which is superior, amen, into this inferior place. Yes. Believe God. Be like Elijah. Be persistent. Continue to pray. Continue to sow in the Holy Spirit. Because the day comes that what is due you will come to you. Amen? That which you have sown will come back. But don't let there be those lapses where you're not sowing. Amen? Because God wants to fill your life with good, with Him, with blessings. So keep praying. Pray every day. Hallelujah. Because if you just sow seed one time, you get a harvest one time. But if you keep sowing seed, you're going to keep getting harvest. Are you with me? If you keep loving, you keep blessing, you keep giving, God is faithful. And you may not see it right away, but it will come back to you. That's what Ecclesiastes says, right? Chapter 11, cast your bread upon the waters. You may not know what's going to happen to it, but just spread it out there. Throw your bread out there on the waters. Amen. And after many days, it shall come back to you. You don't know when and how what it's going to look like, but it's coming back because God is faithful. Sometimes you got to do the opposite of what the situation tells you. Abraham is looking at his situation. It's hopeless. God promised me a son. Now we're old. We're beyond childbearing years. Did God really mean what he said? Yes, he did. But God wanted them to know that it was going to be him. It was going to be a supernatural conception. Amen? That way they couldn't say, well, we did it. We made it happen. They will know that God did it. And of course, there's another whole lesson in, you know, getting in a hurry and making something happen rather than waiting on God's promise. Well, I don't have any sons, so I'm going to have to work out something. Maybe Hagar will help us out a little bit here. We'll help God out a little bit with the promise. And now, Ishmael and Isaac are still fighting after all these years over in the Middle East. Yep, that's what the flesh will do for you. God is able to bring a solution. In Ephesians 3:20, how many know this one? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. You get a hold of that? In other words, we can ask for something, but God is able to do even beyond and above what you're asking. And sometimes he'll do that if you're asking for the right reasons, for the right things. Remember Solomon? When the Lord appeared to him and said, Solomon, what can I give you? And Solomon, Lord, give me a heart of discernment that I can, you know, wisely rule over your people. You know, have wise judgment. And the Lord was pleased with that because he didn't say, well, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. You know, most of us would be like the genie in the bottle. Oh, let's see, what is my first wish? You know? No, Solomon had a heart after God. He made the right choice, and he said, God, I want what's going to please you, and I want to be a righteous king. I want to represent you to the people. I want to walk in your ways. And God says, Solomon, that was a good answer. Not only is that, I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to give you riches and wisdom beyond anyone ever. Amen? Before or after you. There's never been anyone like Solomon. His throne was so extravagant. It was actually a throne made of ivory overlaid with gold. I mean, that's just a throne. They're saying that even the gold, much of the gold, even that we're wearing today, came from Solomon's temple. There was so much gold in that temple that a lot of that is even in circulation today throughout the world. Much of the gold came from there. Yes, they're still mining gold. But you know, you may be wearing some of Solomon's gold there. What are we trying to say? Is that he chose rightly. He didn't ask with impure motives. He prayed for God's kingdom to come, amen, and will to be done first. That's why we pray fervently. We pray for souls. We pray for the lost. We pray for the backsliders. We pray for the people of our city and of our nation. Why? Because that's the heart of God. That is the will of God. And we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And because we know he hears us, that we'll also answer that prayer, amen? He'll give us our requests. Now, we may not see a whole lot right now, but we are, amen, seeing results of prayers that were offered a long time ago, actually being answered now. And even the prayers that were offered after that are going to, do you see how the reaper is going to overtake the sower and the sower the reaper? It's going to just be an amazing snowball effect in the spirit. God's doing something here, folks. I mean, this morning we looked around and there's new faces showing up. People are coming in. They're excited about God. God's doing something. How many know it's because of the faithfulness of God's people to pray and call the kingdom in? Because God's not going to move until we ask him to. Why? Because he gave us the authority on the earth. And so God will not he will not step over us. He always puts it in your lap and he says, here's the keys. But you're going to have to turn the key. I'll pour out my blessings upon you, but you're going to have to open the door and allow me to do it. I've said this to Bishop Gary here before, too, that even when you've been here and you've struggled and you've fought and you've been on, I know you've been on your face, there's been a lot of tears and heartbreak, and it goes along with ministry. And not seeing much results sometimes, you know. Sometimes God has to allow a promise to die and then he'll resurrect it. And then when he resurrects it, you're just blown away and say, wow. Your labor has never been in vain, you see. What you sowed years ago. The prayers that have been offered in this place years ago. Hallelujah. If we don't give up, if we don't throw in the towel, God will come to our rescue. There had been words spoken over this place that God is going to do a mighty work here, and he's doing it. And we're in the beginning season of that move. Hallelujah. And the devil will not be able to stop it. Why? Because Jesus is doing it. Amen. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell are those principalities and powers. That's where the elders would sit outside the city gate, you know, and they would have to do their business. And so it's talking about demonic entities that try to oppose the work of God. When Jesus says, I'm going to build it, and they're not going to prevail. Guess what? He's doing it. And we're doing this because we love Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're making this about Jesus, too. It's not about us. But it is about people. We love people, and people count. And that's why we count people. I could go on all night. I'm going to close it up. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Seeing the unseen. By faith we access Father, tonight, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your promises are true. God, you will take care of us. God, you will protect us. God, you will lead us. You will guide us. You will direct our thoughts. You will direct our steps. God, you will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. God, you will make water come out of the rock. You will make manna rain down from heaven. God, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. But Lord, you told us to ask. You told us to seek, and we would find. Father, we're seeking you as that precious jewel. We're seeking you as the greatest treasure of all. You are our exceeding great reward. And God, we want you more than anything. Lord, we don't need stuff. We need you, God. When we have you, everything comes with. My God, you're our delight. You're our joy. You're our hope. You're our salvation. My God is with me. My God is for me. My God is well able to do much more than I could ever dream. My God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. My God, there is no one like our God. No one like our God. And we will see the goodness of the Lord. We will see the glory of God. We will see heaven invade earth in this city, God. Even now, let your glory come down in this place. Let your glory come down in this city tonight. Lord, overshadow every home and every man, woman, boy, and girl. Let your presence, your glory come, Lord God. Let the fear of the Lord grip every heart. Bring repentance and faith alive in the hearts of your people. Draw in, Lord God, your people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Draw them in by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, Lord, let your kingdom be filled. We want to populate heaven. And we're living for that eternity. We're living for that reality. We're living for that which will be, hallelujah, a city in the heavens not made by hands. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek for one to come. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You are our treasure. We want you.